Lord, we just ask you that you give us, Lord, the ability to communicate clearly things that are not simple nor clear in the Bible, and that I believe, Lord, you're bringing up understanding about them and revelation that is only at the beginning at this time, but is going to develop more and more as we get closer to the time when Jesus is coming back. So we just praise you and thank you in advance, because you know, Lord, that it's your Holy Spirit that guides us, teaches us, and brings us closer to you. And we give you all the honor and the glory to you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So we saw some things to start with. Okay. You know, we're talking about the church in general and discipleship and what is going on in the world, both, you know, in the different meetings. And, you know, I really think when especially we start talking about the church, okay, maybe this could be difficult for some, maybe for most, to find out how to actually apply some of the ideas that I'm talking about. And there is a reason for that. Okay, and the reason is simply that, you know, these are still things in terms of the direction it's taking, but to be able to see it is a different story. To be able to see how to apply it is a different story. And if you try to find your own solution for it, you're going to fail. It's not going to work because it's not your ideas that has to be implemented, it's what the Holy Spirit does. So the idea is that actually, you know, the implementation is not going to happen by our own ideas, our own solutions, or any other man ideas or solution. Because this the church that God, that Jesus is preparing, is not a man's ideas church, is the one that Jesus built. And so he has to build it through the Holy Spirit, not through man contribution. And he's not going to give any of the glory or any of the thing to anybody. It's going to be completely supernatural, spirit-guided, spirit-ruled, spirit-walk, you know, people that are starting to walk more and more in the spirit. So trying to figure out with your mind, you're not going to get anywhere. The only thing you're going to get is more confused. Okay. Still, that the scripture talks about these things. And so, you know, for the spirit to be able to open up the understanding, we have to know the scriptures. If we don't know the scriptures, then we have no basis, no ground things for our mind to grasp what the Holy Spirit is doing. But when we see it doing it, then we can say, oh, look, that is what's happening now. Okay, so it's not a question of trying to figure it out. It's a question of understanding the direction it is taking and understanding that the role of the Holy Spirit in the last day is much bigger than it has ever been before in history. Okay, God is in control. No matter what you see in the world, nothing happens without God not allowing it to happen. And he has a plan, and he's implementing his plan from which his church is going to come out, because he is doing it, not us. When we understand that, things become much easier, because then we open up to the only way it's going to work is the operation of the Holy Spirit in us and not us making up things, not us trying to put ideas our own way, the way it for now is. Okay, so we cannot develop through our mind the how and the implementation of it. Otherwise, we'd be there already, and it's not. Okay, so it's not surprising that you know, some may express the thing, you know, how are you going to do it? The how is not our job. The how is the work of the Holy Spirit that is going to be taking over more and more to manifest the things that should be manifested at this time. All goes together with what the scripture said, all goes together with you know, the book of Revelation, all goes together with all the other book of the Bible. So that is important to understand. And really, if we go to Paul's teachings, we can see that, you know, our attitude should be similar to his attitude. Okay, I want to go to some scripture that I taught many times before, but I'm going to get a bit deeper today because they are relevant to what God is doing at this time. They are connected with the whole plan of God. It has to be manifested. Okay. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And we are going to take the chapter and go through the chapter because it's a very important chapter to understand and to apply to today. Okay. So start, and I, brethren, that when I came to you, did not come with the excellent speech of wisdom, declaring you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Now, you know, here he's talking about the testimony of God. So, declaring it. See, the testimony of God is something that a testimony, okay, is something that you share because you went through it yourself. It's not, you know, it's something that you have experienced, something that you have seen, something that you, understand, and you can share the things, the effect, the impact, and the other things that has on you. And he says, to determine to know, not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. You know, here the fact that Jesus, except Jesus Christ being crucified, doesn't mean that that's the only thing he's going to talk about. Okay. This means that, you know, the basic thing about everything he's going to talk about is the impact of Jesus' crucifixion. But doesn't stop to Jesus' crucifixion. You know, it goes beyond that. It goes to the work, all the work of Christ. All the result of what he did, his function as a Messiah, his resurrection, which is really the things that validate the whole thing, and the impact that that has on us. Okay. So, without resurrection, there is no any much gospel to talk about, no matter what some people think these days. Because that's where the power has demonstrated, has been validated, has been confirmed, and start being, and is, you know, that's where things start to happen at a completely different new level, which was, on developing what this time of the Gentile is going to bring about. So continuing this, says something in synthesis for chapter verse 3. It says, and I was with you in weakness, in fear, and much trembling. This sounds pretty strange, if you want to know. And the reason why it's much strange, because he comes here saying, that I came with, declaring these things of great power, and he's there in weakness and fear and much trembling. And he's really not, this, if you think about an attitude, doesn't sound like an attitude that is going to be very effective to communicate his conviction. The thing is not talking about, he's realizing one thing that is critical. Wasn't Paul preaching? Wasn't Paul, confidence in himself and his learning and his abilities and his, years of study in the, Jewish seminary or whatever, okay? He had absolutely no confidence. And this is, really the attitude in the of the flesh, okay? He is not at all confident in the flesh, not all confident in what he can do, realizing that he can do nothing except what he gets and what he can do in Christ. Wasn't fear, spiritually. This was fear that of the from the fleshy point of view, he had given up. Okay? But he was not based on the flesh. What he was doing was, in power coming from the Holy Spirit. Okay? He was explaining that before, and he's going to explain that later. Okay? The death, the flesh has to die. The death is weak, is fearful, is, can do nothing, can get you only in trouble. Okay? So that's the message that was, that he was sharing was not in his own ability, but in the power of the Spirit, not in self-power. Okay, continue here. Verse 4. And my speech and preaching were not with persuasive word of human wisdom. You see, that reinforces that concept. But in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. See, so it wasn't weak, wasn't incapable of doing anything, but everything that he was doing were demonstration of the Spirit of power, not his human ability, human wisdom, human understanding. Wasn't his logic that produced this result? Wasn't his cleverness? Was the Spirit of God working in him and the power? So the human wisdom is what you get through study, through education, through logic, your thinking. And that wasn't the basis for Paul's preaching. Okay, in the demonstration of Spirit, can take many different forms. Okay, and the demonstration of Spirit can be, for example, the revelation that we have received, so that is actually the foundation of the church, is the trusting in the Holy Spirit and operating on the Holy Spirit so that the spiritual event can take place instead of just physical event. People will be transformed, empowered, and everything else. Okay. And then goes on, says that your faith should not be based on the wisdom of man, but on the power of God. I mean, that really put the final touch on what he was explaining, okay? Wisdom of man, thinking of man, human wisdom, the things that are logically developed by study, education, and your own thinking or your own imagination is not where the power of God is. Power of God is in the Holy Spirit revelation to us, so that give us, you know, the information and the ability that are not ours, but are God's. Okay, everybody's following up to you? All right, let's continue here. So the wisdom that we have to operate on is not human wisdom. That's the bottom line, okay? It's the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. Okay. And then continue to just reinforce on this point, okay? However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. And we can see exactly that through all the ideas of the world today, and the ideas of the world are really a mess. Doesn't matter where they're coming from. They are crumbling in the society, they're crumbling in the world, they're even crumbling in the church. We are going to see more about that. So let's understand about this wisdom of God so that we can be able to move it to that direction, okay? So God's wisdom, okay, is acquired not by our reasoning, but it's acquired by the dealing that we have with God and the Word of God. So let's continue here. It says, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. So if it's a mystery, that means you don't know it. And actually it means even more. You cannot know it. Because it's a mystery, then if you can know it, then it's not a mystery anymore. Okay. In your ability, you cannot know a mystery, period. But to understand the mystery, then there has to be something else that takes place. And since this is a spiritual mystery, then has to be a spiritual source provided to you. Okay, that's what it says here. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, hidden wisdom, you see, it's not open, which God ordained before the ages for our glory. That's interesting, you know, for our glory. Why is our glory? Because you see, he's talking about the meaning of the people that receive this mystery, people that have this understanding, not just everybody, not all the people, but the people that get the mystery, they can receive the glory. Is that clear? Do you see what I'm saying? Okay. So the mystery of God, then evidently, if it's a mystery, cannot be received or got by reason or by thinking, but must be received from God by revelation, because he is the one that knows the mystery and not us. That is an important point, because I don't think many people try to get it that way. Certainly not the people that try to read books and try to don't know what is taught today in the seminary and the universities. In fact, you know, many people lose the mystery completely because they become unbelievers by going through that process. And I've known too many. It took that route. Now, let me continue. So we cannot figure it out. It's a mystery and has to be given to us, the understanding by God. If you try to do it in your own strength, your own ability, your own logic, your own study, you are going to make up stuff that is not that. Okay? So, verse 8. Which none of the ruler of the new rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. Here is published on the, you know, talking about the Jews, especially the Pharisees and the people, the religious leader of the time. Okay, they thought they were wise because they had studied the Bible and they knew it by heart. And when Jesus came, they missed it completely. That proves that the mystery cannot be received by study and by your own mind. Verse 9. But as it is written, eyes have not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. This is a scripture from the Old Testament, a bit modified, but it's really Isaiah 64:4. And really saying that, you know, the only one that love him or will love him will receive it. So there has to be, you know, I mean, the word love, I often say, is misleading. It should be value. Maybe much better, you know, those that put God first, those that put God in top of the values and priorities, that means the people you're loving because you value more than anything else. Loving is too kind of a word that doesn't have any connotation of, you know, you had to love him more than anything else. You had to value more than anything else. That's the thing that has to be established. So then we'll continue. But God has revealed them to us, the mysteries, through his Spirit. Now, to what degree he has revealed to us, well, that depends how much revelation we got. It's not the mind information that we need. It's this revelation of the Spirit of God that we had to receive because we love him, because we seek it, because we want it, because we are open to it. Seek and you shall find. Well, you know, that was that thing that we taught. Stay in the Word and all these things. You know, all the scripture goes connected here. But really, God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. So is the Holy Spirit the key to get this revelation? Is be able to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to us, grasping it, and it's going to be, you know, it's not something far-fetched, different from the scripture. It's going to be in the scriptures. Okay, but we are going to understand the scripture because these things has been there around from the beginning, but wasn't completely understood or perceived because it was a mystery to our mind. But when the Holy Spirit illuminates the scriptures, then the mystery is open, is unveiled. Apocalypse, you know, is unveiled from to us so that we can receive it and understand it. Everybody is following me up to now? Okay. All right. So now, how the Holy Spirit is going to do this? Well, this is what I call, okay, the school of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit teaches us all things, guide us into all truth, and so on. And doesn't do it just because, you know, it goes because we deal with the Holy Spirit on the going basis and through the things that we go through in our life, we seek understanding, we seek revelation, we open ourselves up so that we end up getting it because we are seeking it. It's not, and we are seeking it for the right reason. Because we want to know the truth. Because we want to have, you know, the understanding and between, you know, because we want to get closer to God. Because all these things, you know, our relationship with God, with the Holy Spirit, with the Word, is all the same thing. And as we work toward that, he brings revelation to us. on the things that are in the world, that are the mysteries that the world cannot understand. And it's not just superficial stuff or the physical stuff like the Jews can only see, but it's the spiritual dimensions things that are important that we need to understand and we need to learn to apply in our situation. And this is, you know, where the difference is made, okay? The word there, no, yeah, no, okay, it's for God revealed to us through his spirit, for the spirit searches, see, but the God has revealed them to us through his spirit. So that's the way it's going to work, okay? It's not just us reading things, it's just that we need to have revelation. The way Paul had revelation, as we are going to see even more later. Okay. And is the Holy Spirit going to do this work? It says, for one man knows the things of man except through the spirit of man, which is in him. Even so, one knows the things of God except through the spirit of God. So you see, you can know things about yourself, but you cannot know about things about God. God knows the things about God, so there has to be God coming from God, the information, not from us. Now the word knows there in Greek is eido, that actually means to see, to perceive. So we are going to be able to see the things that we concerning ourselves, maybe sometimes we don't even come do that very well, but you know, because you know, they're related to us. But the things of God, only God perceives, and he's the one that has to show them so that we can to us, give us revelation so that we can see them too. That's why the Holy Spirit is the source of our revelation. Okay, so. And then goes on, you know, the thing is, how much do we know? How much do we understand? Where are we in this process? Verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we may know the things that have been freely given to us by God. So let's get into this scripture a bit more in detail. So for we, he's talking about himself here, yeah, mostly, but also for the people that are like him, okay, or the people that understand these things. It says, for we have received, the word received is lambano. So he says, I have taken this, I am appropriated this truth, this mystery, this revelation of mystery, okay? Not with the words which man wisdom teaches, okay? Not because of teaching of man, not because of doctrines of man, okay? But which the Holy Spirit teaches. So you see, that is saying that we'll be able to get through the Holy Spirit. And how do the Holy Spirit does that? Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Now, the word comparing is sankrino, which actually means judging together, connecting together, combining. So the Holy Spirit takes different scriptures, different parts in the Bible, put them together and show us the connection between these things so that we can see and understand those things that are involved, not in just one scripture, but is the combination of scriptures. So that's the way revelation is expanded. It's not limited to one scripture, it's the combination of script, judging together scripture, not by ourselves, but it's the Holy Spirit that brings them together in our attention. He is the one guiding us step by step as we are trying to address certain things and as we are struggling with that, dealing with God, asking Him, and so on. And we end up bringing together the scripture so that we can see, oh, yes, that's the way it is. So, you know, comparing actually, you know, is connecting, combining together is another way to translate, judging together different scriptures. So one scripture supports the other scripture, enlarges it, and makes us understand better what is meaning with that, and show us different level of depth about those scriptures. Okay. See, the difficulty is some of these things cannot be connected, you know, by our physical experiences because they are spiritual. So they have a different plane completely. And the only way to make that connection is by the Holy Spirit that knows the spiritual dimension and show us the spiritual dimension of things that were not completely expressed in one or two scriptures, but all the combination of scripture coming together. Are you still there? Okay. Does it help? I hope. So, okay. So now it says the point is where each one of us is in this process of revelation, because evidently some people have more revelation than others. Some people are more knowledge, spiritual knowledge than others. Some people are more maturity in the spirit than others. So, you know, there are different degree of revelation that we have. And we don't have everything anyway. We have only some part, but hopefully as the day comes closer and closer, the understanding is going to keep growing because the Holy Spirit is working on different people, and He is the one, it's not us, it's not our work, it's not our effort, it's not our zeal that is going to produce it. Because the Jewish zealots were very zealous, you know, they just were ready to die. And they all died because they rejected Jesus. So it's because, you know, you can be zealous in the flesh. Here we are talking about operating in a spiritual dimension in which has nothing to do with the desire of your flesh. And sometimes the flesh says, ouch, to move in certain area that is not very easy. They hated, for example, the Romans. We don't see Jesus hating the Romans. Neither Paul or any of the others. He says, love your enemies. Bless those who despise you. So that's a very easy thing to do to the flesh. So that's what I'm talking about. See, it's the school of the Holy Spirit in which we go through things and we have to address them according to the scriptures. How do you learn to forgive? Certainly not theoretically. You had to actually do it to know how to do it experientially. So that means there had to be some good reason to forgive. Because the deeper the reason to forgive, the more you overcome, and the more you are going to be experiencing that truth, aligning yourself up with it, and growing accordingly. Because you got revelation, not mental knowledge. You can have all mental knowledge about forgiveness and get nowhere. Now, all right, so let's continue here. How spiritual we are we? Okay, verse 14. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are spiritually, for they are foolishness to him. Nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Let's take the scripture here and see how the connection goes together. The natural man, the word there in Greek is psychikos. I mean, you know, what means the natural man here? Okay, you say he was not born again. Well, here is referring to a specific aspect of us. When, you know, that means, you know, the natural man, the man operate according to the natural things. The one ruled by his soul, his mind and his flesh. That is the natural man. You can be born again and be ruled by your mind and your flesh. So, you know, it's not just the non-born again believer. It's the one that is not ruled by the Spirit. Because the difference is the, you know, pneumaticos, which is the one that is ruled by the Spirit. Okay? So, the natural man receive the things. Receive there is the word that we talked about before. It's not lambano, it's dekomai, which actually accept. He cannot even accept the things of the Spirit because they're foolishness to him. Thus, they don't make any sense whatsoever. The logical mind, the light based on the physical things, the on the wisdom of man, is going to reject spiritual things because they don't make any sense. They don't click with their thinking, and so they're going to just simply reject it. Okay. They are foolishness to him. Nor they can know them. The word know them is ginosko. Okay, and it's important. Unfortunately, the English doesn't reflect what the Greek is trying to say. Okay. Here he's saying, you know, the not can he experientially know it. He cannot have the experience of spiritual things because he works in his control by his soul and his flesh. That's interesting. So if you are controlled by your flesh, you cannot even experience and understand spiritual things. You are going to always to distort things in the physical level, like the Jewish did, because they weren't spiritual. The one who was a bit spiritual opened up, they were born again, and they converted, and they accepted the Messiah. Only one third of the people. Okay, so let's continue here. Because they were spiritually discerned. You know, the word discern is anakrino, which means, you know, the only way to discern something spiritual. Anakrino means examine closely, you know, judge properly. Okay, so, you know, only from a spiritual point of view. If you are, you know, a natural man, you're going to judge things according to your soul, your mind, and your flesh, instead of spiritually. But that means, you know, by the influence of the Holy Spirit, by the revelation of the Holy Spirit. So you cannot get there. That's a mystery to you, and it's going to stay a mystery to you. Because your approach is natural, psychikos. You know, ruled by the soul, by the psyche, by your mind, your thinking. You can see the implication of this. You know, this scripture to me is one of the critical scriptures to understand the Bible. I often refer, but I never went to the detail that I used tonight. And because that's the time. Okay, then goes on, verse 15. But he who is spiritual, and that means pneumaticos, and that means ruled by the Spirit, one who walk by the Spirit, one can think according to the Spirit, that means it's open to the Holy Spirit because he got some information already and he got some revelation, okay? Judges all things. He himself is rightly judged by no one. So, And again, judges Anacrinus, again, you know, it cannot be examined or understood or discerned by anybody, but, you know, he himself, you know, judges everything around because he understands. So according to the degree of revelation, according to the degree of connection with the Holy Spirit, according to the abandoning the logical, natural reasoning that we have naturally as people, you know, operating in the flesh. As we abandon that more and more, we are going to get more and more connected with the Holy Spirit. We are going to be more and more pneumaticus, which doesn't mean, you know, the tire of your car, but means, you know, the Holy Spirit guided, Holy Spirit ruled, walking in the Spirit. Then we are going to be able to judge everything, and people are not going to understand us. We just are strange. We are just, you know, a mystery to them because we operate according to mysteries that they don't have. And then it's very interesting closing sentence here, verse 16, for who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Now, when it talks about the mind of the Lord and the mind of Christ, okay, he's referring to, you know, in Greek, to, you know, just let me go back a moment. You know, who has known the mind of Christ? You know, the word there, knowing, is ginosko. So really, how can we experientially, not mentally, not logically, how we can know experientially the truth that is the you know, the way the Lord judge, understand, think. That's the mind of the Lord. You know, the mind is nous. Nous is really the intellect, the judgment, the understanding that God has. Who can know the Lord, the understanding, the judgment of God, that he may instruct him? Okay. But we have the mind of Christ. So, you know, we have the mind of Christ. Jesus had the mind of the Lord because he operated in the Spirit. And to the degree that we operate in the Spirit, to the degree that you walk the way he walked, to the degree that we are open to the Holy Spirit connection so that we receive continuously information and revelation, to the degree of revelation that we got, we are going to be able to operate the way, you know, we are going to not think the way God thinks. We are going to think the way Jesus thought, and we are going to be operating in the truth. Now, Paul doesn't say this in only one place. Here is very well put together in the context so that we can apply to ourselves, but also in Galatians chapter 1, goes on and explains the way he got it, so that it may be clear the way we had to get it. Okay? Galatians chapter 1, verse 11 says, this is how God gave the revelation to Paul. Okay? It says, but I have made known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to men. For I neither received it from men, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. Ta-da! And this is really the key, you know, really the way he's explaining is really well. You know, the word there, you know, what the revelation that Paul had did not come, did not, you know, I never received it from men. The word received there is paralambano. That means, the word paralambano means, you know, they receive it by association with men, association with people. So it's not because I was following the group of people that taught me that. But I wasn't even taught. There was nobody teaching me. But the way they do is, I receive it by revelation of Jesus Christ. Supernaturally, he received by the Holy Spirit when he was in the desert, spending time meditating, opening up, seeking God to find the truth, because he had to receive he had received already the Holy Spirit, and he had received the gift to operate in that way after the encounter he had with Jesus Christ. You see, his eyes, his spiritual eyes were open. He received the Holy Spirit. He received the truth. And suddenly, the door was open in his heart to be able to communicate through the Holy Spirit the truth. And it was a continuous revelation. And after 3 years that he spent there, and he spent with God, and spent to receiving revelation and understanding, he went to talk to the apostles in Jerusalem, and a long talk with them. And they came to the conclusion that he was getting the same thing that they got. See, wasn't organized by anybody, wasn't organized by the apostles, wasn't organized by any man. It was the Holy Spirit, the plan, his participation to show something, I believe, or the way it's going to happen. For us to happen for others. And us to happen, especially in these days. We need to move out of religion and move into revelation from the Holy Spirit by interacting with them, by learning to work with them, by having that relationship with God and the Holy Spirit, that is the basis on which the church that Jesus built stand. There is nothing else. It's no man organization. It's no man structures. It's no man anything. Man is going to be taken out of the picture, from the control. And I'm, you know, through the time, I think the Lord is going to show to me this more and more. Men are going to be not able to control the church anymore, because there's not going to be church in a while. And I can prove it with lots of other scriptures, of which some I'm going to maybe share tonight. See, Jesus' church, as I already said before, I think 2 weeks ago, is not a religious institution or organization. It's not a corporation like they made it today. It's the body of Christ with the head, the church, and no man. Now, spiritual leaders don't like that, because they want to control. They cannot control anymore, because God is doing a work on their structures. What the church is actually a spiritual body, the body of Christ, made up of spirit-led people coming together and be descended of Abraham, who have received revelation by the Holy Spirit, received revelation of who Jesus is and what he has done. That's what Jesus said at the beginning. Okay, you are the Son of the Living God. You know what Peter said, and said that that's the stone in which my church is built. Have made him Lord, so they don't try to lord it themselves. Okay. He therefore becomes the head, as he directs the Holy Spirit on what to do. And they are the body working out his ministry for the time being. So, you know, what actually the church is the spiritual church, the one that Jesus built, is an assembly of believers that actually walk in the Spirit. And the more we walk in the Spirit, the more we have the mind of Christ, the more we are going to be like Him, the more we are going to be, you know, part of this entity. And, you know, there is a place in which we start walking in the Spirit, and then we are going to be, you know, having enough of the mind of Christ to see evidences, the same evidences that Paul had, so that he could say, you know, I preach to you not according to the wisdom of man, but by demonstration of the power of God. And he wasn't there every day performing miracles, although he was performing miracles regularly. But, you know, the biggest revelation and the bigger miracle he was producing was actually, you know, spraining or writing the things or teaching the things that he was teaching, the understanding that he had, the demonstration of the revelation that God had given him. The truth that he had, because it's the truth that set us free. Everybody getting what I'm getting, what I'm trying to understand? Now, this is, to say the least, revolutionary. Because all the leadership won't like that. They are going to respond just exactly the same way as the Pharisees rejected, reacted to Jesus, because they want to control the thing. Okay, so this has tremendous implications, radical implications, okay? Especially in the terms of, you know, when it looks at the function of the fivefold ministry, okay? And how the body functions. Okay, Jesus was the example of the fivefold ministry. He had all the function of the fivefold ministry in himself, and he's going to distribute them according to the way he wants, not according to the way men appoint. There's nothing to do with the credentials, religious credentials, has to do with, number one, the gift that had been given to the person, number two, is the degree in which this person has learned and connected with the Spirit of God to be able to operate in the Spirit, to walk in the Spirit. See, as the law, you know, for the law of the Spirit of life set us free from the law of sin and death. That's a powerful scripture that I'm not going to go into that tonight, but that is where the power comes. You're not in the law. Now, you know, if you try to understand the way the Holy Spirit is going to do it in your mind, first of all, you're wasting your time, because it has to come by revelation. You have to go to the scripture, read the scripture, open yourself up, and the Holy Spirit opens up. But you're going to be able to see it happening and recognizing it as you receive revelation, because it can be right in front of your nose and you're not able to see it, because you're still thinking according to the traditional paradigm, which is religious, which is, you know, the way things have been organized up to now by men. This is not a man thing. This is a complete Holy Spirit ruled structure that is going to be operating and bringing the church to a place in which there is unity in the Spirit and not in the flesh, in which there is growth, spiritual growth for the members, and actually ministry taking place through the body and not through the fivefold ministry. Their function is to minister to the body. So, what that brings up, you know, reminds you of, and I think connects with, is some of the things I've been teaching on Sunday, based on the scripture Matthew 22:29. Okay, Matthew answered, said to them, "You are mistaken, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God." You see, is the power of God is the operation of the Holy Spirit, bringing revelation, bringing supernatural activity, and so on. But without the two together, scripture first, and then openness to the Holy Spirit, and actually God's activities in you, dealing with you, you cannot understand the scriptures properly. It's going to be just the usual religious stories that don't get anywhere and create a man-made church. It's just Jesus is the head, not man. Jesus, the Holy Spirit, is the organizer, not man. So, let me see what time we are. 11:08. Let me see. I have, don't know if I can finish this section here. I can start. Okay, the book of Hebrew. We go to the book of Hebrew and talk about what it says there in the end time church. It's interesting, I wasn't thinking about this at all when to teach on this, but you know, I had intention of teaching what I was teaching up to now, because was connected and expanding and explaining the difficulty in understanding maybe the first 2 weeks. But, you know, I just finished this and the Lord brought me that, my attention to some scriptures here. So I went and I ended up taking chapter 12 of Hebrew, starting from verse 22. Says, "But you have come to Mount Zion and the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels and the general assembly of the church of the firstborn." Now, it's interesting that this is not the name of our, this is how I got the name of our church when it was in 1983. Okay. The Lord gave me the name of the church at that time, but I didn't understand why, or I didn't understand how it was connected. As time went by, I understood more and more, and I understand it has to do with the end time church, and understand that, you know, actually this becoming a pretty common name in many places. In fact, you know, recently I've been getting lots of people connecting me and wanting to, ministers from other countries wanting to connect with us. I don't have the time to answer because there are too many and I'm busy enough here. But anyway, and most of them have the same name that we have, or similar, pretty close, Mount Zion or whatever. So the idea is here. Okay, this is talking about really the end time church. Okay, the way it is going to operate, the way it's going to work, not the name itself. I mean, the name is as a meaningful. It's meaningful as thing. I'm not going to get into that too much today. I'm going to explain things. It's going to, this is explaining some things in which the, that is going to be operating. It says verse 24, Jesus, you know, the general assembly of the firstborn who are registered in heaven to God, the judge of all, to the spirit of just men made perfect. So he's talking about people growing up here. Okay. It says to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. So he is the head that is operating. Okay. And to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better than the things of that of Abel. And that is, you know, this is, you have to consider that this letter was written to the Jews and is speaking in a Jewish terminology, trying to get the Jews to understand what was going on and preparing them. Okay. So, you know, we had to understand some of the terminology. Okay. Then goes on say, okay, so the Jews is the mediator of those of the new covenant. The, I mean, Jesus is the mediator of the new covenant. Okay. And of the new blood spread that is better than the one of Abel and the one of which was the, you know, the sacrifice of Abel and the sacrifice of animals later on. Says, see that you do not refuse him who speaks. Now, the him who speaks, hymns, is capital letter. So he's not talking about somebody saying things. He's talking about the Holy Spirit talking to you. God speaking to you. Okay. For they did not escape who refused him against the Holy Spirit who spoke on earth. Much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven. So you see, what he's talking about here is, you know, that the Holy Spirit himself is going to speak to people and they had to hear, listen, to be open to him. That's the way the end church is going to work. There is going to be, there has to be, and is going to develop by communication, being personal communication from the Holy Spirit and the believer. It's not just talking to some people that are leading. And there are other scriptures to back up that, and we're going to see them. Definitely not tonight. So, you know, him who speak is actually the Holy Spirit speaking to us, speaking through the word, using the word, illuminating the word, opening up the word so that we can understand it. And he's creating, okay, an assembly of, you know, the church of the firstborn. You know, is the assembly that talk, the Bible talks about the many brethren that his sacrifice has produced. So his work result in the preparation of the brethren for the last days, as is given in Isaiah 53, verse 11 and following there, or something like that. So, now, you know, the problem is for people that have been trained, have seen the church for 2,000 years operating the way it's operating, is not the easy thing to take. And that is a normal phenomenon because that's the way their mentality, their development, their idea, their logic is. They can only see what they have seen in the past. Well, Jesus gave a parable in which he explained this kind of situation in a parabolic way, you know, in, as a parable. So it doesn't, but this actually repeatedly happens all the time. If you can see it in history, that's the way it takes place. Okay. Luke 5:36. He then spoke to them in parable and said, you know, no one puts a piece of from a new garment on an old garment, on an old one. Otherwise, the new makes a tear, and also the piece that was taken out of the new does not match the old. And no one puts a new wine into old wineskins, or else the new wine will burst the wineskins and be spilled, and the wine spill will be ruined. But the new wine must be put in a new wineskin, and both are preserved. And no one having drunk the old wine immediately desire new, for he says the old is better. I mean, they are used to it. Okay. What he's saying here is that when there is a complete change of operation, you cannot keep the same structure, the same organization, the same way of doing things. That's what he's saying. Okay. And so, you know, the implication here is that you see, for example, each time there is a new idea, a new revelation in history of Christianity, what happened? They end up splintering away and creating a new denomination. They are not staying together because they cannot stay together. I mean, Martin Luther, had the revelation that it was against the prayer and the purgatory and so on, and the paying of, to reduce the number of years in purgatory, you know, and he makes some edict about that, and there you got the denomination that was the Lutherans. And then, you know, you got all of them. You know, each time a new revelation comes, you know, they cannot stay in the same structure. When people start to walk in the Spirit, they cannot stay in the same structure anymore. This is why today there are so many churches that are not denominational. That doesn't mean that they're right, but they cannot stand in the structure that was made before because the structure does not line up with their belief. And that's not a problem. That's a reality of the situation. But there's going to be much more of that when people start finally walking in the Spirit and listening to the Holy Spirit. Because that's going to produce an enormous change in the way believers are going to behave. And that is going to actually come out of something that is not necessarily what people want to hear. Okay. When, the church was established at the beginning, it broke out from the Jews. Every new things broke out from the place. Well, which is the Church of Jesus Christ? None. Because we're all made up only one revelation and not on the basic revelation that is my church will be generated by the revelation of is the Messiah, the Son of the Living God. And on that revelation only, that means, you know, the operation, how Jesus operated. Jesus operated according to the Holy Spirit. He was guided by the Holy Spirit. He ministered by the Holy Spirit. He just wasn't doing anything but what he saw the Father's doing. When people start doing that, that's the biggest revelation that they can get anywhere. And that's going to produce the final structure of the church that is not dependent anymore on men leadership, but the head is going to be Christ. It's not going to be boundary, locally, whatever. They're going to come because of the fivefold ministry is going to guide them to the unity of the faith, because there is one truth only. And they are going to know more and more what that truth is. Now, I don't think I had the time to continue. I'm going to leave you hanging there for a week. and wandering. But, you know, it's not gone, it's not man thing that's going to do this new structuring. This is going to be completely God's work. That goes together with the dream I had about, you know, moving the church and the move from one place to another, for which we couldn't get there in any way. The only way was through hot air balloons. And I said, well, wait a minute, you know, we had to, how can I get everybody there? And the dream and the Holy Spirit told me, just let it happen. I'm in control. And at the end of the dream, you know, everybody was there. All the balloons were there. And I couldn't figure out what was going on because I thought that I had to control things. And this is the way the old mentality, God was breaking my old mentality, giving me revelation. You know, I knew that that was a relevant dream, was a spiritual dream. But, you know, I only saw that the beginning part of it. I understood enough, you know, but now I understand it even much better. And what I'm explaining now is really connected with that. And with that, I'm closing for now. And if you have questions, you can ask. Unfortunately, many people came late, so, you know, without the preparation before, they can't get too much of the meaning of what I'm talking about now. Possibly, I'm going to try to put it on the YouTube, but in the private area, so that you guys, people can connect it. Okay. So, if you have questions, I'm open to answer.
I think you mentioned something about in the end times, we get the revelation.
We already got it.
We already got it.
Yeah. I mean, okay. That's half of the revelation. I mean, we don't have the implementation completely, but the revelation has been there all the time. And Paul knew it too. Or whoever wrote, you know, Hebrew.
Right.
But people didn't understand it.
Okay.
See, it's not the problem, it's not the scripture. It's understanding the scripture and be able to apply it, to do something with it. That's the difficult part. Not just for, you know, things about the church, even for personal life, sometimes it's difficult to know how to apply certain scriptures. And you need to have a revelation for that too. How do you start? You start with the school of the Holy Spirit that teaches you to deal with the situation that you are in, you know, that you had to struggle with or whatever, because you had to find answer. And then you start opening up, you start seeking the Holy Spirit, you find revelation, you find actually solution, you apply the solution that is true, and you have then not just scriptural knowledge in your mind, but you have gnosko knowledge, you know, actually experiential knowledge of the truth, because you have applied it. And this is why, you know, if you don't apply it, you never know it. And this application in this area is happening bit by bit as people learn to listen to the Holy Spirit and start applying what the Holy Spirit tells them. So this is why, you know, the scripture I read before, if you hear the one who spoke, do not turn him off. And that's the thing. Okay. That's very important. That scripture that I was reading before there in you know, do not, where is this? Yeah. Do not refuse him who speak, for they who did not escape, who refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven. So you see, this stuff doesn't come from earth, it comes from heaven. The revelation comes because the Holy Spirit speaks to us. The people that turns it off, they are not going to get it because they don't even listen to the one that comes from earth. But, you know, Jesus came, told him this to the people there, you know, to the Jews, and they refused what the one who was speaking. That actually was Jesus was speaking, but the Holy Spirit was speaking through Jesus.
So right now, Jesus is speaking via the Holy Spirit sort of thing. Eh?
Well, that's why the Holy Spirit speaks to him to start with anyway.
Yeah. So we have to have we have to be able to understand some scriptures in order to be able
to. Well, you had to start with the scripture. Yeah, you had to start with the scripture. The more scripture you know, the more you are going to be able to grasp. But that's not enough, okay? You should know the scripture and the power of God. And you know the power of God by dealing with God in your situation. Your situation don't happen by chance. They happen because the Holy Spirit is there to help and God allows them to happen. God is in control of everything.
Right.
Good. And the things that are bad, it's not God that put it on us. The enemy put it on us, but that doesn't matter. Yeah. God has to allow it because he cannot do anything that God does not allow. And God is just and know what you can handle. And so the things that come our way, we have to deal with connecting with God, allowing God to bring us revelation, bring us understanding, bring us the solution. And as we deal with him and he deals with us, then we start changing. We start having experiential knowledge, ginosko, of the truth and how to apply it. And then we are going to see the results that are promised. Otherwise, we err like the Jews did.
Okay.
So
at least we know what the Jews did wrong, and we can learn from that in some way.
Well, doesn't look like many do that because they lots
don't
of
know
people
nothing about it. They don't read scriptures.
Well, because some of them they try to go back to Judaism, thinking that that's the deepest knowledge. When instead is nonsense. Yeah. That's really before the revelation of Jesus Christ. They didn't understand anything, and everything was distorted.
Mm-hmm.
According to the physical. We are spiritual being, not physical being.
Right, yes.
And we had to learn to operate in the spirit by revelation. See, first Corinthians 2, in all the chapter I read just this tonight, mm-hmm. explained very clearly how that functions and why we should, how we should be oriented, our attitude, our position, our way of operation. The way Paul was operated, that's the way it's explained very clearly, Galatians chapter 1-2. Okay, so there is verse 11 and following. So that's really the explanation of how, we should function. Okay, it start at the individual level. It start by getting us maturing, growing. And as we grow personally, then we can start, things are going to start happening at a higher level, at a corporate level. People are going to start coming together naturally because it's the same truth that the Holy Spirit teaches to everywhere, anybody, and it's not something organized by a committee ruling a denomination.
Yeah.
Or a certain church or whatever. It's the Holy Spirit guiding, and Jesus is the head, not man.
Right. Yeah, okay.
Because the spiritual dimension is operating there, because the spirit is more important. People are no longer ruled or guided by the flesh, they are ruled and guided by the spirit. They walk in the spirit.
Okay.
Praise the Lord. All right.
Just I was wondering if people are going to die. Let's see, those who go to the kingdom of God, do they have to have all this knowledge?
No. There is a difference there. There is a difference. It's not a question of going to heaven or not.
Yeah.
It's a different story.
Okay.
I have no time to get into that.
No, okay, okay.
But not, you know, in heaven, God is not democratic.
Right, okay.
Not everybody is treated the same in heaven. Not everybody has the same connection with God in heaven.
Right.
Okay. Even when Jesus comes the second time, not everybody is going to make it to the rapture. That doesn't mean that not, they are not going to go to heaven, even if they don't make it to the rapture.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I won't think so much about that. I'll stick to what we learned right now.
Just meditate on the scripture to get understanding on the things we cover, because that's the thing that, you know, you can get farther than that if you don't understand that. It's like, you know, if you don't know basic algebra, you cannot take differential equation, or you cannot take advanced math. So you have to go one step at a time and grow into the understanding in that area so that you can take the next step. Here we can grow to maturity, but the path is the Holy Spirit, not our work, not our study, not our abilities, not our thinking. The human thinking is the natural man thinking. That doesn't do it. The only thing that does it is the mystery that was prepared from the beginning of the earth, which is the mysteries of God are revealed through the Holy Spirit, not through learning, not through man's wisdom.
But in order to get the wording from God, we need to be aware of some of the scriptures.
We need to think about the scripture. We have to meditate on the scripture. We have to allow the Holy Spirit to, we have to seek fellowship with the Holy Spirit. It's not just scriptures. It's a fellowship between us and the Holy Spirit and the scriptures that are, you know, the scripture are the element or the tools that the Holy Spirit uses to give us understanding. If we don't have them, that's the part that connects with, our mind, the word. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. But the truth is what's behind the word.
Right.
Okay. That is not just from one scripture, it's from... as I said before, the combination of scriptures done by the Holy Spirit, that is the way the spiritual discernment comes.
Okay, connection of scriptures. Okay, that's good.
Yeah. Second Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the whole chapter, that is one of the fundamental chapters to understand the operation of the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit works and how the scripture works. And so that, Matthew 22:29, is the context in which it works, which it says that, you err because you do not know the scripture, not the power of God. The power of God is the connection with God, God working directly with you and producing changes in your thinking, in your judgment, in your experiences, and the understanding, bringing revelation to you.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. All right. Anybody else has any questions?
Pastor?
Yeah. I'm not hearing anything.
I don't. I don't know. You're hearing me?
I'm okay now. Yeah. I can hear you. Well, not now.
No, you can hear me now?
Yeah.
Well, I can see. I can see where I'm going to be going over this again, but in the overview, mm-hmm. I'm Looking at the relationship with discipleship, and also the fact that as we operate in the spirit, the natural man's not going to recognize our outward way of doing things. They're not going to necessarily relate with it unless we're displaying, we're demonstrating the fruit of the spirit, whether it be healing somebody or praying for somebody, or we are teaching in such a way, and I'm sure you're going to go through this, teaching in some way the direction and the behavior of being obedient to the Holy Spirit and practicing that. Otherwise, they're not going to be able to relate with our behavior at all, I would think.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Unless we get results.
Yeah. Okay. How Jesus did it. He went around doing good, healing everybody, you know, ministering to people. And the way he interacted with people, including sinners, okay, was always and always the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, not a man. Wasn't reacting the way everybody would. Okay? The way he treated sinners wasn't like everybody else treated sinners. He knew how to handle them. You see, and this is why discipleship is so important. See, when we do discipleship, what we have to learn to operate it that way to be effective. And that means, you know, we are going to bang against the wall trying to minister to people if we do it in the flesh, because the only thing, you know, we're communicating is theology of men and ideas of men. But if we operate in the spirit, we bring life instead of bringing theology. So that, you see, that is the best way to become sensitized to the Holy Spirit working in us and teaching us how to do it, because we are going to see results where we're moving in the right way and failure in the other way. So when we fail, instead of saying, oh, the people doesn't like to hear us, no, did you hear the Holy Spirit? What should you have done? Can you ask the Lord to tell you what should be done in the case, what mistake you made, how you were pushing instead of being sensitive to that person? See, we had to know the door in their heart rather than dump on them our theology.
That's good.
Okay. So this is where, you see, that's why ministering to others is the easiest way to go, you know, to be in the school of the Holy Spirit in which he teaches us. Because in this case, we are not personally involved. Our emotions are not personally involved. So if our emotions are not personally involved, you know, they are not the hindrance for us to hear. When it deals with ourselves, sometimes it's more difficult to do it.
Yes, for sure.
Okay, so this is why, you know, that's critical to our spiritual development, growth, and maturity.
Yes, it's critical to keep us out of the weeds of
religion.
Just we get in the weeds and then get nowhere. Religion.
Yeah.
And so this is kind of Holy Spirit leapfrog approach, excuse my terminology.
Yeah, no.
That's what I visualize.
Yeah.
And now I have a situation where one wants to go and sees the desire within to be healing people. And so, you know,
That's part of it.
Sounds very honorable.
Yeah.
It sounds very honorable to do that, but we got to get to realize that the obedience of being in the Holy Spirit is so important, and the word to make sure that you're not being guided, by some other spirit. And this is what I'm working on now.
The thing is, you know, is when we die to self, when we, you know, don't do it for ourselves, you know, because that unfortunately what happens, you know, we have to get out of the way to be able to do it properly. When we are in it, unless we die, unless we crucify our flesh, we cannot get anywhere. So we had to do that.
Yeah.
And as we do that, in all the circumstances we go through, then freedom comes, because the Holy Spirit show us the scripture related to those situations, according to which we, you know, forgive people, according to it we take action when you know we are afraid, for example, or you know we do things that nobody else will do, and we take rejection from others. You know, we just start to do things that the Holy Spirit show us, because we know, we start knowing, recognizing His voice, and we start seeing results. And the results, you know, what did Jesus say? If you believe in me, the work that I do, you shall do also, even greater work than this you do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask me, I will do it. I mean, more than that. Okay? So that's the principle, yeah, that we start to start applying and believing, and not in throwing away any doubt. You know, the unbelief is the biggest problem in the evil art of unbelief is what blocks the Holy Spirit from operating.
Yeah.
And you cannot just, okay, I'm going to believe. No, there is a work involved in the heart, dealing with God to bring you to the place in which you can believe more and more. And you can break through at a higher level from faith to faith and glory to glory. See, that's why that, you know, that this is for our glory. I mean, that doesn't sound too religious, and it's not religious. It's not because we care. It's because we are part of something much bigger than ourselves.
Yeah.
I think, you know, when we start to have this vision, the thing gets so exciting, because you see, you know, okay, I'm just nothing in the old process. And you can see, Jesus said it too. You know, I'm nothing. I can do nothing on myself. Paul, in fear and trembling, come to you, you know, because he couldn't do it, but he knew he was bringing the revelation of God. The power of God was going through him, and things were happening. I mean, just miracles and other revelation. So that you can start seeing the different dimension that we can operate and start manifesting inside you according to the gifts that were given you, not to the, you know, trying to imitate somebody else. It's not the question of learning.
The teaching then, and the dying.
Go ahead.
In the dying, in the teaching, and teaching to dying to self, and getting the head out of it, and getting the spirit, the Holy Spirit into it, through the knowledge and the understanding, then you're going to be drawn by the Holy Spirit in the right direction.
Yeah.
And then the power starts setting in. And that's what I got to teach then, but they're going to have to get their head out of it.
And well, you see, they cannot do that. They cannot do that in the flesh, because, you know, has to be.
Right.
So that's why they had to learn to have the interaction with God concerning the things that happen to them day by day. See, that interaction, that dealing with God, that dealing, you know, being dealt by God, by that interaction in prayer, and interaction in the meditating on the word and so on, that's what makes the difference. Things happen quickly, some other things are really difficult to get, but these are the things that are going to make you break through bigger. So it's really, talking about this, really to me, understanding the concept, and I'm going to talk more on Sunday on this, understanding more about the work of the Holy Spirit done through the school of the Holy Spirit, which is really a personal training that goes on for each individual, each person that is, is a believer, okay? As they allow that to happen, as they seek that relationship the right way, then that's going to produce the fruit of the Spirit. That's going to produce the changes in them. That's going to produce the ability to walk in the Spirit. And the whole thing is coming. It's just natural. It's not a question of being, religious or fanatic or whatever.
That's good. Thank you.
You're welcome. I think I'm getting across a bit here. Good. Anybody else? Any other question? I'm going to try to put this on the private channel on the thing, because I think it's an important one soon, so that people can listen to it again.
Pastor?
Yep.
I just maybe need a clarification. You mentioned the school of the Holy Spirit, that would be the way for us to learn and by our experience and difficulties to become more mature spiritually.
Yeah. Okay. Exactly. Okay, I'm going to close in prayer. Praise the Lord. Father, thank you. Thank you for tonight. Thank you, Lord, that we cover a lot of territory here that is important. It can make enormous difference in our life. We just give you all the honor and the glory to you, Lord, for, giving the understanding in this area. And we just ask you that, Lord, you may continue to open up our mind more and more about these things that I believe they are relevant at these times, because this is the time in which you are working in this dimension more than ever before in the history of Christianity. We just praise you and thank you, Lord, that we know that this is your plan, that it's clear in the scriptures what you are doing, what's happening today, and what you are going to do, and the way, Lord, things are going to develop and prepare the coming of the Lord. So we just praise you and thank you, give you all the honor and the glory, Lord, and ask you, Lord, help us in this walk. I know that that's your desire. So thank you. Thank you for what you have done, and thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen.